The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today is the last day of the legislative session. On our guest line, Senator Josh Kimbrell. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, Joe. Yeah, it's the last day in name only because we'll be back again next week. So
yes. So talk with us about, I think I saw where you guys passed a sign-and-die resolution. Is that correct?
No, there isn't a sign-and-die resolution.
Oh, there's not. Okay.
We haven't passed anything in the Senate yet. So as far as we know, we're planning on going back. The governor's already decided to exercise his authority to bring the legislature back because there isn't a sign-and-die resolution. So they're going to do – we're expecting the governor to make that announcement for next week pretty soon.
Oh, okay.
Because, of course, the abortion bill – there's – as you and I have talked a lot this session, there's still been no final determination what we're going to do to stop being a 20-week abortion state. And I've been – saying all year that given some of the dynamics with some folks in the Senate, we needed to at least get the heartbeat bill through the House of Representatives,
right?
The revised heartbeat bill to try to get that into effect. So they've kind of waited to the end here, but they're going to do it. And the House is taking it up on the floor, I believe, today. But even if they get second reading, there's no way it can come back to us before the session adjourns at 5 o'clock. So we have to be done at 5 o'clock today under state law. So then it becomes a special session being called back, so to speak. So yeah, there's no sign-and-die resolution. Frankly, I think we're going to be back a lot more than we want to be. Which has been happening a lot lately because for the last several years, the House and Senate just had competing priorities and competing schedules. And unfortunately, we've been back a lot more. This part-time legislature has turned into a lot more of a full-time gig.
But you're paid so well for it.
Oh, yeah. So great. Somebody told me the other day, they're kind of critical. This one guy who's just ranting and raving at us. And he said, "You know, why do I spend all this tax money? You come down here and vote on this stuff." He didn't agree with us. I said, "Well, good news to you is that you're getting your money's worth because you pay us nearly nothing. So, you know, you're good."
Yeah. Look, if there's anyone who should be arguing for an increase in minimum wage, it's state legislators.
Yeah, we're paid far below minimum wage. I can promise you.
All right. So let's talk about you guys coming back then and where we are with the abortion bill, the fetal heartbeat, because, you know, one of the big problems that we have seen, I was just floored with some of the DHEC numbers. I mean, we have become a destination state for abortions.
We already were, but we're going to be worse now because of Florida, because Governor DeSantis signed the heartbeat bill in the third largest state in the country. So now you've got people, literally Planned Parenthood in Florida is talking about buying buses, renting buses, and running people up to South Carolina to have an abortion. So we got to put a stop to that before they start a pipeline from the I-95 pipeline in South Carolina to have abortions. And right now, that is a very real possibility.
Yeah.
We're going to see by the end of the summer, if this heartbeat bill is not reenacted here, we are going to see by the end of the summer abortion numbers in this state that rival anything in the mid-90s at the height of the abortion holocaust in our state. So we got to do something. I'm pretty confident that the House, there's a lot of amendments. There's a lot of people going to fight over it, but I'm hopeful they will send a bill back to the Senate that has a 6-week prohibition, you know, with the limited exceptions that were in the original bill. Look, I supported Human Life Protection Act for conception, okay, with limited exceptions. We came one vote short in the Senate of getting cloture on that. We don't have the votes, and that's not going to change till 2025. So this bill's got to be done, and I believe it will be done if the House can get it across the finish line and send it back. I'll certainly be pushing for concurrence, try to get it into effect, see if we can bring this number down dramatically before we get into the summer season.
Yeah. You know, I've had some listeners who've asked me about the differences in the bill this year as opposed to what was passed and the South Carolina Supreme Court ruled unconstitutional. Is there any real difference other than the fact that we have a different Supreme Court and hope for a different outcome when it's challenged?
Well, there are some differences. I mean, mostly technical amendments, technical changes, right? I mean, for example, the prior bill did not address the conflict in the law that in 1974, the then Democratic legislature, in the wake of the Roe versus Wade decision in 1973, codified in statute saying that, okay, there is a right to an abortion in South Carolina that was put into the code. So then typically what our courts have interpreted is the latest law governs. But unfortunately, when the last heartbeat bill was enacted, it didn't necessarily strike that prior provision of there being a right to abortion. So it led for some justification for some of the folks that wanted to kill the heartbeat bill to put it on stay. So we've changed that. We've made some changes that make it more likely to sustain a constitutional muster. And to your point, we did replace one of the more liberal justices on the state Supreme Court, Kay Hearn, with Garrison Hill of Greenville, who I believe to be a strict constructionist. He won't try to legislate from the bench. And if we can get this bill back into effect with these changes, I believe it'll be sustained by the state court, and we can move down the road towards saving lives and reducing this number.
Yep. Talk with us about other issues that you see you guys maybe taking some action on today. I know yesterday you chaired a subcommittee on a bill related to parental rights in education. Talk with us about that and other issues that you think you guys may take some action on.
Well, we did advance parental rights legislation I've authored yesterday. It's Bill 743, and we advanced it to full Family Veteran Services Committee. It won't pass this year. We're just out of time, and we're not going to have time to get that set up for special order or anything like that even until next year. So I don't expect that to become law until 2024, but this is the first year of a two-year session, so that the advances we made yesterday still move us closer to the goal. And that would essentially make it to where you can't have your child have stuff shoved down his or her throat and taught things they don't want to be taught without parental knowledge. We had a debate on the floor last night, and I think that a lot of your listeners probably already know this, but over in my county, not in my district, just south of my district, the southern part of Spartanburg County, one of the largest high schools in the state is Dorman. And my colleague and friend, Senator Scott Talley's son, was in a class where the social studies teacher was fired because this individual decided that it was a good idea to tell these high school students at Dorman to go and watch a gay porn site. Let's just be blunt. That's what it was. And wow. Sent them the link, gave them photos and information and how to log in and wanted them to watch videos on a gay porn site. And that's insane. Okay, so we put an amendment to the CRT bill last night. It did pass at like 11:10 last evening. I'll tell you more about that in a second. But that makes that we have to have prior approval. These teachers have to have prior approval before bringing in stuff like this without anybody knowing about it. There have to be vetting process. I think that's a good thing, and that's a step toward what my bill overall would do, which is you're not going to have teachers and administrators with an agenda just subvert the will of parents or tell a little kid in elementary school, I think you might be an opposite gender. Let's work on hormone replacement therapy and don't tell mama. Yeah. We're going to put a stop to that insanity. And I think the polls indicate the vast majority of people across the political spectrum agree, Joey. I mean, at the end of the day, most folks think that regardless of what your political ideation may be or your thoughts on certain LGBT issues, et cetera, you don't put that stuff on kids. And I think we're on the right side of history and the public opinion in fighting for this.
Yep. It's just a scary thought. Peg and I do not have kids, but I just can't imagine parents with children in school these days knowing what they might be subjected to, and the parents never even find out about it.
Well, that's happening more than people think it is. And for anybody that says this stuff doesn't happen in South Carolina, they're not paying attention. I mean, the example I just gave happened to a state senator's son, and made it all over the local press. And I'll tell you, even the critical race theory prohibition we passed last night, okay, it passed at 11 o'clock. It was a House bill that will become law. People said, well, this isn't happening in South Carolina. Why do y'all care about this? I made the comments on the floor that Ibram Kendi, who, of course, is the godfather, so to speak, of this notion of critical race theory and pitting kids against each other based on their race, the state teacher of the year last year, actually said that he wanted Ibram Kendi's books to be used as tools for literary criticism in public schools, and that should be the standard baseline of our social studies education. So people tell me this isn't a problem. It is a problem, and we're trying to address it. And we did yesterday in two different ways, advancing the parental rights bill and passing into law the critical race theory prohibition.
Yep. On our guest line, Senator Josh Kimbrell, one last question. I've been getting a question on our Big Rock text line here. Where do we stand on constitutional carry? Do you know what the status of that bill is?
Well, I'm going to go jogging in a few minutes with Senator Wes Clymer, who's a good friend of mine from York, and we had a long conversation yesterday about what to do about constitutional carry, and he's been a huge fighter on that, and I've fought on that, and a number of us are trying to get that done. And right now, Joey, I think there's a decent chance, just stay tuned, in the next, potentially in this special session we're about to have, I think we might get a chance to pass constitutional carry. We're going to do all we can, and we think we have to vote, so let's see if we can't do it this year, too.
Wow, that would be wonderful. Senator Josh Kimmerle, always a pleasure. We'll catch up again with you real soon.
Thank you, Joey. Keep up the good work. Take care.
Sure thing.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.